Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Inner Voice Intuitive Hour with your host, Jenny Seek.
Hi, folks. This is Jenny Seek, and this is your weekly forum for connecting with your intuitive process, all things metaphysical, and honoring and recognizing your soul self. Thanks for tuning in, and enjoy the ride.
Hi there, everybody. Thanks so much for listening to Inner Voice Intuitive Hour this evening, for spending your Tuesday here with us. I want to let you know that there are archives of the show for about 3 years back now. So if you just play around on the site, you can click on those. There's everything from working with chakras to working with different archetypes to working with the tarot. So have fun checking out those archives. I want to let you know, too, for folks who are listening to Inner Voice Intuitive Hour for the first time, this is a forum for people who are interested in the intersection of depth psychology. That is listening to our unconscious, listening to that small voice inside that is working to figure out what our calling is in the world. We all have a calling. We all have gifts to share. And the more that we're able to connect with that unconscious and create a bridge in our lives from the unconscious to the conscious, the more we're able to access those wonderful gifts and share them with others in the world. The way that we do that is through using our intuition, using our clairsentience, our claircognizance, all those wonderful intuitive gifts that we're given. And so Inner Voice is really kind of a wedding of those two ideas. So if you're interested in living a richer, more soulful life and connecting with your intuition on a deeper level, you're definitely in the right place. Thanks so much for tuning in. Let's see here. I want to let you know who's going to be on the show in upcoming weeks. Next week, on January 15th, I will have Beth Jordan on Inner Voice. Beth Jordan is a practitioner here in the CBUS area, and she owns a facility called Key Empowerment, where lots of folks who are interested in new thought ideas give lots of different kinds of workshops and things like that. So she's going to be talking about her journey with Key Empowerment, and she's also going to be talking about the work that she does. She has a wonderful company called Gentle Voice Solutions, Soul, S-O-U-L, Solutions. And it looks like she works a lot with bars and hypnosis and all sorts of different forms of music to help balance the energies in you. So I'm really excited. I've been spending a little time on her website, and I'm really excited to have her on the show. Then on January 22nd, Claudette Cecilia will be on, and Claudette is an intuitive practitioner and intuitive tarot card reader, and she will be sharing her gifts with us. So I'll be sharing a little bit more about her website next week, and with no further ado, I want to introduce you to our guest this week, Monica Foster. Monica, are you there?
I'm here. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi. How are you doing this evening?
Doing well. Doing well.
Wonderful.
How are you?
Actually, pretty good. I'm on the tail end of having quite a cold here, and I've been nursing the cold and, you know, trying to get rid of it. And I think I finally just turned that bend and finally are in a place where, you know, I'm going to start to get better. So if you have trouble hearing me, I'm going to try to speak kind of quietly, not as forcefully as I normally do. Just know that I'm here and I'm listening, and sometimes the voice might be giving out a little bit. But further after that, I want to ask you all about the wonderful work you do. I know that you have a wonderful, wonderful page on Facebook called Butterfly Wheel Motivation Advocacy and Consulting, and that you work with folks who are differently abled, and I want you to have a chance to talk all about that. How did you find yourself on that journey? What did that look like for you?
Well, I was born with a spina bifida, which is a mm-hmm. spinal cord defect that happens when you're born. And so I've been a wheelchair user all of my life. Mm-hmm. And then actually today is an anniversary for me. I became an amputee on January 8th, 2010, so today's my third year, what I call ampuversary as an amputee.
Uh-huh.
And I faced life-threatening infection in a wound that didn't heal in my left foot. And had to, in order to get rid of that life-threatening infection and basically save my own life, was to have my leg amputated. So I faced the later in life disability, and was also raised by a disabled veteran. My dad had 22 years in the military, and so I have all of those different perspectives from disability and chronic illness to draw from. And I've just really enjoyed giving my perspective and being a motivation and an advocate, a fellow advocate, along with other people with disabilities, and also other people who feel boxed in by their labels or disenfranchised by the community and excluded.
I love that you make that connection. I think we live in a society that sometimes focuses more on our differences than on our commonalities and strengths, and I just love the fact that you extend that to people who feel excluded in any way in the culture. I think that's so important for us to feel more connected with each other and realize that we all have disabilities in some ways and that we're stronger together and empowering each other than we are creating those labels and separating ourselves from each other.
Mm-hmm. I started this business in 2008 and actually primarily started working with my fellow peers with disabilities and realized I was actually boxing myself in by only working with disabilities, the disability label, and realized that everybody has challenges. People in the lesbian, gay, bi, transgender community, people who are interracial, biracial, everybody has challenges that they have to deal with, and those can be disabling to them or people's perceptions about those challenges can be disabling to people being successful. So that's why I wanted to, here in the new year, to really focus on branching out. And while I specialize in disability, working with other people who feel, as I mentioned, boxed in and cornered by their labels.
Yeah, I think that we'll definitely live in a better culture if we dismantle those labels than if we focus on them, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. So it sounds like you started out on your own journey of healing and empowerment, and then it just grew from there.
It sure did. I had a very active and very independent childhood and was encouraged to be everything that I could be. But, you know, still out in the community, I was seen as a person in a wheelchair first. The wheelchair was seen before I was. And still, in some respects, it still is. But I try to do things that if you're going to stare at the wheelchair, I've put my logo and my website on my wheels
I've seen that.
Mm-hmm.
It's in one of your pictures up at the top here.
And I have a collection of
car.
I love to collect brooches. So what I've started doing with my amputation, rather than trimming my left pants leg and hemming it up or rolling it up under, I have sort of created like a little envelope fold at the end of the pants leg and then attached a brooch at the end of my leg. So if they're going to stare at my amputation, I'll give them a nice pretty a pen to stare at. And it also, the butterfly wheel logo on my chair or the pen on the end of my leg is another icebreaker. So that they don't just start off with what's wrong with your legs or why are you in that wheelchair. It's, oh, I love your pen. And, oh, when I notice that you're an amputee, or, I love your wheelchair wheels. Oh, you know, talk to me about being in your wheelchair. And so it makes both me and the other person comfortable about talking about disability.
That's wonderful. It's also, it feels to me, it's also about creating beauty. I mean, when I look at your website and your materials and, you know, just the way you present yourself, beauty is so fundamentally, it feels to me, so fundamentally important for you in the work that you do. It seems like you create a lot of it.
I do that. I strive for you know, to me, beauty is something that's very internal, but I understand that the first thing that you see is the external. So anything that I can do to encourage you to work on your outside as well as your inside simultaneously, You know, I'm all for that, whether it's, you know, finding an outfit on a budget or skincare or creating essential oils that are natural for a nice scent, anything that that you can do to make the package more appealing and or learn to make better eye contact or be more confident about yourself or to smile more, even when you don't feel like smiling. It makes you more approachable, and in many ways, walking your talk and talking your walk, moving into who you want to be, those are the things that I like to share with my clients and reinforce with them.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. I think that anything that you can do to empower people to be more present and more connected with empowerment is such a wonderful tool, whether it's, you know, figuring out the gift in the wound. I know in Jungian language they talk about a lot about this idea of the pearl in the wound, that out of pain and suffering comes this wonderful gift that we have to offer each other, and that we're usually best at sharing that gift where we're the most wounded once we start to heal ourselves. And that's that wounded healer archetype. And when I connect with your work, I definitely get that feeling of that archetype from the work that you do.
Absolutely. And I love pearls, but I also love diamonds. And, you know, what a diamond used to be was a dirty little piece of coal or carbon. And with enough external friction and a lot of things going on and obstacles and challenges, you turn it into a diamond.
Absolutely. That's so wonderful. And I think that's such an important message for us now, especially in 2012, as we're experiencing more friction, more difficulties in some ways in our world. You know, things are more polarized, and in some ways they may be more difficult. But this archetype of, you know, finding that jewel, finding that diamond in the rough is so apt, because that's really what we're being asked to do, I think, as a culture, is to move beyond those limitations and grow beyond them and have a bigger vision together.
Absolutely.
Awesome.
And that's part of the mission, is to shift life's possibilities into reality. You know, we all have these ideas, and really I'm challenging my the people that I work with, whether it's through speaking or one-on-one coaching or even in my vision board groups. I challenge people to take their ideas and bring them out. You know, not just keep them locked in their head or their heart, but to bring them out, write them out on paper, put them together in a collage or a journal or anything that they do in their daily life.
Well, and you mirror that so well, Monica, you know, with your brooches at the end of your pant leg and all of these sorts of things. You know, you mirror that for people so well. Talk a little bit more about the vision board group that you're in and what that entails and what the idea behind that is.
Well, I have a designation as a master vision board coach. And what a vision board does is it's a collage of images that represent things that you want most in your life, whether it's more money, more prosperity, better health, maybe you want to lose weight or you want a better job. And you cut out images, whether it's printed images that you found online or even in your own scrapbooks or old magazines, and you put together a collage with a picture of you in the center, because it's about you. Even if you are focused on God or your higher power, still it's about you and your life in this collage. And arranging all of these images and bringing them to bear that you can look at every day, all of these images represent the goals that you have for this week, this month, this year, however long you want to take to achieve them. And sort of live in as-if mode, as if it's happening now, and be grateful for what you already have, and live each day pursuing each goal, one at a time or several goals at a time. Just go after each image that you have. And I know some folks that I've worked with that their vision board has become a piece of art. It sits center stage in their living room or over their bed. They have it as a background on their computer, their wallpaper, on their smartphones. so that they can look at it every day and be reminded, okay, I need to live this goal today and live into it and live it full.
Absolutely. I think, too, that when we have those powerful, powerful images, Jung talks about this idea about the image is the thing that pulls together the two opposites. So if you think of these labels as being the opposites, and then that this image, that this thing of beauty, that this piece of creativity helps bridge those two opposites, I think that there's something that happens in the body, too, you know, in a felt sense way inside of us when we look at those images and we entrain those images. We work with the energy of those images that happens like on a quantum level to us where we start to feel like we can shift that energy from the possible to the actual.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, they say an image it speaks a thousand words. And that, and speaking of words, whatever your power words or your power statements, your motto for that year, any quotes that you that inspire you or motivate you forward or make you feel powerful, I encourage people to put those on their vision boards as well.
Absolutely. That's wonderful. I think so much of the work that we've been taught to do sometimes is so in our heads, and that so much of the work needs to happen in creative action, in this sort of what's called the active imagination, you know, where we actually move the images around on the board and feel where they go and what that feels like in terms of time to us and these sorts of things, that body piece is so important and sometimes overlooked.
And I think that the creation of a vision board can be just as sacred as a prayer or a meditation
or a mantra. Absolutely. Absolutely. Even more so. I mean, for some people, some people are more visual, some people are more auditory. So for folks who are more visual, the vision board can be so powerful. Absolutely.
And even my clients that are more auditory, I encourage them to take their favorite piece of music as inspiration in the background while they're working on their vision board. Surround them in their favorite candle, their favorite incense. Maybe start that pot of stew that reminds you of mom at home, if that's and then get to work on your vision board to sort of excite all those senses.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that can be, those things can be so magical. Those parts of a treatment plan can be so powerful, you know. That can be such wonderful work. Well, I want to ask you a little bit about how you started to get involved in the advocacy part of the work that you do, as opposed to just, you know, using services and that sort of thing. How did you start to step up and see yourself as a coach and as a mentor? And what did that journey look like for you, Monica?
Well, I went through a lot of different services in the human services community, and those services, you know, served me well, and I did well with them. But I saw a lot of cookie cutter things happen. You know, a lot of services are limited by budget, are limited by the time that the service provider has, their caseload. And I saw a lot of the services out there, and still do in many ways, that were limited by what people tell us that we can have. And we're so used to having someone else dictate, okay, there's this pot of money, there's this amount of time, and you can have this, X, Y, and Z, whatever that is, whether it's transportation or adaptive equipment or whatever, or so many hours of counseling. And I realized that we needed to not only have that sort of service, direct service, but also have a outlet to tap into our own inner tools. And I see coaching as an extension of that. I think coaching and service provision can work together. Oftentimes, if I'm coaching someone to be more motivated and not just think, well, they're a service provider, they can't help me, show them how to be more confident and advocate. This is what I need, and this is what I know that you can give me. And be a more educated consumer for those services.
Absolutely.
And as a result, being more confident as they show up in the rest of their lives.
Yeah. I think it's so powerful when you move from that, you know, wounded healer archetype into, like, from that student to that teacher place. And, of course, we're always cycling and we're always student and teacher at any point in our lives. But it can be so powerful when we have been the student or we have been the person who's receiving services, and then we become the person who is helping to heal or empower others. Like, that's just such a powerful cycle to create, you know?
Mm-hmm. It sure is. Absolutely. And I still seek service provision and encourage others to. And I
mm-hmm.
also partner with a lot of service providers who may want to extend their services beyond what they can provide and partner with me or another coach. And I encourage collaboration in all types of different services.
And I'll bet the fact that you have been someone who's used the services yourself, you understand more about the limitations and how to work in an adjunctive capacity with the services that are offered by maybe the state or the city. Like, I was really surprised just loved when I went to your website and you talked about how important it is for someone to have a coach and for them to be able to advocate for themselves. Because I think so, you're right. I think so often in an environment where there are limitations on budget and sometimes a lot of bureaucracy around it and things like that, people just really don't know how to advocate for themselves. They don't know how to say, this is what I need.
Mm-hmm.
And they can allow the person that they're working with, you know, their caseworker and stuff, to shape what their needs are too much without speaking out for themselves enough about what their needs are. And
mm-hmm.
I just think that's so wonderful that you provide those services. You help them figure out how to advocate for themselves.
Absolutely, and I think that makes them a smarter consumer, client, customer in other areas of the world, to not just take no or take a particular service at face value, that you can and what else? Is there something
uh-huh.
else that I can get? And how can we get through this red tape or this loophole or get around this barrier so that I can get what I need? And how can we work together? And I try to do it in a way that's not adversarial. Sometimes advocacy can be adversarial, but
mm-hmm.
I prefer my first order of business when I'm an advocate with or for someone or for an issue to be a collaborator and see how
mm-hmm.
we can come together and then go from there. And when we can't come together, then move up the chain of command and say, you know, this isn't working. We need to push this a step further and
mm-hmm.
go through the different steps.
Mm-hmm. And I'll bet just having you as a model, someone who has figured out how to work within the system, helps people so much. I mean, I can see that it would.
It's just really important that we aren't afraid of the word no, and that
yeah.
no doesn't have to be a wall. It no can be an opportunity.
Yeah. I say this to my clients as well. You know, no is just, it's no, not right now. It's no, not this way. It is about how you hear that no and how you are able to shape the environment so that you're able to, you know, go up against that adversity in a more soft way and in a more creative way.
Absolutely.
That's wonderful. So I know you do a lot of speaking to different groups and things like that. When did that start on your journey, and how much has that impacted your mission?
Well, I've been speaking for many years, but it particularly amped up when I worked on a project through Human Services Research Institute on healthy relationships and sexuality education for people with disabilities. On being more healthy and safe and more socially included in the community and more aware about your body and what you need emotionally. Because there are a lot of stereotypes that people with disabilities are not social beings, sexual beings, and don't have the same needs as everyone else. And
mm-hmm.
I started talking on that issue, and people heard me speaking on how important sexuality and social skills and safety education are among people with disabilities, rather than just using segregation and exclusion as the first order of protection. And
mm-hmm.
Then I branched out, and I'm talking more about how important it is to be a better self-advocate, whether you have a disability or not. You know, we all need to be better advocates for ourselves, regardless of what our challenges are. And also just people tell me that I'm a good motivator and I have a good story to share. So I've started more in the last couple of years sharing more of my story and the things that I've been through in life and how I've been able to get over, around, and through those different obstacles in life.
When do you think that you had a sense, Monica, that you would do this work? When do you think it moved from, you know, you feeling like you needed to use these services to the tipping point, when you reached that tipping point and said, I can start to share my skills and start to share my knowledge and empower others? What did that look like for you? What's that story like?
In around 2006, 2007, I was kind of in between jobs. I had been downsized from nonprofit work. And a friend of my husband's actually was looking for a second career after her retirement, and she was going through her coaching certification. And I didn't know what a life coach was, didn't know what they did, and she needed practice clients to finish her certification. So I became sort of her guinea pig, her homework assignment for a few weeks. And to figure out the next thing I wanted to do when I grow up, once I was downsized from 8-to-5 work. And we discovered that I love to write, I love to communicate with people, I love to create change, I love to motivate, and I loved educating other people. And there, I had a lot of strengths that I could package and work for myself and not just contribute in an 8-to-5 setting. So once she was done with her certification, and I did a few part-time jobs while I was figuring out what I wanted to do, I thought, you know, this keeps nagging at me. I really need to, this resonates with me. I really need to do something that speaks to me and can really make a difference. And so I developed my own business and came up with a butterfly wheel for the motivation and the advocacy and the consulting all in one, and just used my life experience and my professional experience to help other people. So
it's so wonderful that you listened. You know, so many people hear that inner voice, that inner calling, and because, you know, of strictures of the culture or their families or their limitations, they don't open to that new part of the journey. And it's just so wonderful that you listened. And I think that it's so powerful that these things that seem like they're just accidents can actually be a whole new trajectory in our lives if we listen, you know?
Absolutely. You know, being downsized and then having to transition to different part-time jobs was very scary for me. I didn't know what my next journey was going to be. And when I realized I didn't have to let my journey dictate, I could dictate what my next path was myself and recreate myself, that was very empowering to me and another level of my personal growth. And for me to go through that, it made me realize that I could help other people who were feeling stuck as well.
That's awesome. That's so awesome. Looks like you, I would think that you would be out in the community in some of this work, in some of this advocacy work and things like that, working with clients and things like that. What is it like to be out in the community and working with clients? I mean, I would think that you're not just sitting in someone's house, but you're probably helping them to be able to better utilize different facilities in the community. Is that true? I mean, I guess I should ask you instead of, you know, I mean, do you do that kind of work with people?
I do quite a bit of phone and Skype coaching, but I also work with clients out in the community and one-on-one in person, whether it's we meet out shopping or meet for coffee, and it gets them out of their house and out of their environment to someplace new, maybe that they've never been. And we, you know, obviously we work within their budget, but let's say they haven't had Chinese in years, and maybe we have a Chinese appetizer and some hot tea and just have an experience. And,
yeah.
And and then give them the opportunity to do something beyond just letting someone else order for them or getting takeout or maybe experiencing maybe somewhere we need to go. They need to use public transportation, and they've never used it before.
Mm-hmm.
And we can work together to get them used to using public transportation.
Mm-hmm.
And getting them more out in the community and not so dependent on staying at home and staying within their safe boundaries. And so not only spiritually and emotionally, but physically testing their boundaries.
Mm-hmm. And do you find that you have clients who have a lot of resistance to that? Is it a process for them?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
they want to just coach on the phone if they're local. And, you know, I would prefer to see eye to eye. I learn a lot from your body language and from your eye contact, not
mm-hmm.
just your voice inflection over the phone. And
sure.
And so I think it's really important to really challenge them. You know, it's a really pretty day. Let's go to the park. Let's
mm-hmm.
go feed the ducks and you know, sit at the picnic table and have our coaching session out in the sun. And
mm-hmm.
And then they find, you know, I haven't been to this park in forever. You know, I'm really glad we did this. 'Cause not only did they have their coaching session, they were able to see some activities going on. I didn't know they had this activity here. Well, maybe I can come here beyond
mm-hmm.
my coaching session and do something fun.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Very, very cool. Yeah, I think that sometimes, you know, people with disabilities, people who are differently able can get stigmatized. And then sometimes, you know, I know for myself I have a learning disability in math and found it really stifling for the earlier part of my life and then just kind of decided I had to beat it because if I didn't, I was not going to be able to do what I wanted to do. And I think sometimes people can take in that stigma, sometimes in mental health and things like that, they can take in that stigma and start to define themselves based on that label, and it can really limit the way they see what they're capable of. So I think it's so important, you know, to have models and mentors and coaches like you who show them that there aren't those limitations, that those limitations are self-imposed or maybe imposed by the culture, and that they don't have to buy into that.
Absolutely, and realizing that part of the barrier may be that they're tired of being stared at.
Mm-hmm.
Encouraging them, be stared at. You don't have to, this is you. You don't
mm-hmm.
have to worry about what everybody else is doing. Or stare back.
Right, exactly.
Or if you're not feeling like a curmudgeon today and you're feeling very nice and polite, you can say, hi, how are you? Would you like to talk about my leg or talk about my assistance animal that I have with me, or would you like to talk about this tattoo or this scar that I have or
mm-hmm.
or my green hair or whatever? So whatever you can do, whatever you're feeling that day, whether it's ignore and just go about your business or use it as an educational opportunity. You don't have to use every day as an educational opportunity if you don't want to. I hear
sure.
so many people with different challenges and disabilities say, well, you know, I'm tired of answering all the questions.
And
you
sure.
don't have to answer people's questions and stares all the time. You can choose to ignore it if you don't want to. But it's important
yeah.
to not be ugly if you don't want other people to be ugly to you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, I think that one of the most powerful pieces is that idea that you know, sometimes I think you even have it on your website. I saw this really great quote that you had on your website about ingenuity and, oh, I can't remember what it was now, but it was in this right sidebar over here, and I'm going to try and find it because it was so powerful. And I think it's so true, and it's not something we hear often in the culture. Now I really have to find it, don't I? Talked it up. Let's see here. Where was it? It's something about ingenuity. It was here over here in the testimonials. Out of adversity comes ingenuity, and something about that having to do with beauty or a more creative way to do things in the world. And I really think that's true. Like I see clients and am so amazed
by, you know, how they're able to take these different things that seem like adversities and create strengths out of them and whole new ways of doing things. And and I just think that that is what our world needs right now, you know, that kind of ingenuity, creativity, tenacity, that sometimes that idea of being a survivor can be so, you know, it creates empathy and builds awareness in other people, and it can just be such a wonderful tool, because you look back at your life later on and go, oh my gosh, you know, maybe I banged my head against the wall a couple times and maybe some people were not so nice to me, but look what I've accomplished, you know. And the more people we have out there doing things like that, you know, being life coaches, doing intuitive work, working with oils instead of doing traditional kinds of medicine, the more we all gain, the richer all of our lives are for it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think it's important that if we show up strong, we show up confident, other people will be less uncertain about us and more confident towards us and what we're able to bring to the table and to maximize the value that we have to offer the human community.
Absolutely. I totally agree. And I think, too, that, you know, sometimes, like, you know, I mean, you look at, like, people like, oh, I'm trying to think, I'm not going to remember, you know, the guy, the relativity guy, Einstein. You know, I mean, I think he had trouble. He didn't graduate from high school. He had trouble in math. I mean, there's all these people who are considered genius who really struggled within the box that they were given and had to step outside of it in order to find their best life. And I think that that's a common story. And so many people feel so much pressure to stay within those norms or the confines. And I think that it's just so wonderful when you show them a new way, when you show them that they can step out and that things that seemed like they were impossible and things that seemed like they were limitations were actually opportunities.
Absolutely. And I've part of my mission, I believe, is to challenge people's concept of normal. I don't believe there's any such thing as normal.
Mm-hmm.
I think normal is whatever you think it is. And that we're all normal. We all have things that are challenging us. We all have strengths, and using the medical label of disability, we're all going to face a disability at some point in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
Not to be scary or doom and gloom, but we're all going to have an injury or a temporary illness or a prolonged illness, or through age, we're going to face a disability. And I think the more that we accept disability and the more we broaden what our concept of normal is, whether it's a gender norm or a spiritual norm or anything like that, I think that the better off we are going to be in recognizing everyone's strengths and value that they bring to be a collaborative and to be a good individual.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think also, like, you know, the more that we can accept a more fluid definition of what normal is, the more that we will have empathy for people who are different, you know, and then more empathy for ourselves is a byproduct.
Absolutely.
Of that.
And I think a lot of the hatred and negative emotions that we lash out with towards people with is our own fear within ourselves.
Yes.
Absolutely.
It's that shadow piece that we don't want to look at. You know, it's that what Jung calls the shadow, and we want to push away from it because we think that, you know, we can get the cooties if we get up close to it kind of thing, when in actuality it adds depth to our character. You know, it adds different aspects to our character that make us more deep and more empowered and stronger and show us where, you know, where our lines are, where we have to, you know, where the rubber hits the road, so to speak.
Absolutely.
Very
and
cool.
You mentioned that phrase, where the rubber meets the road. I sort of, one of my most recent clients, I encouraged her to rise where the rubber meets the sky, that the sky is the limit.
Uh-huh.
That that became a mantra or power phrase for her on her vision board, where the rubber meets the sky.
Wow. Now, was she in a wheelchair, or what was the rubber? What was the metaphor about for her?
For her, the metaphor was she had a spinal cord injury, and mm-hmm. she identifies as transgender,
mm-hmm.
and she just felt like she needed to reach beyond the box that she was in as a disabled woman.
Mm-hmm.
Male to female, a gender norm, and
mm-hmm.
really be celebrated as a whole human being, a whole spiritual being, having a human experience.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Awesome. So cool. Wow. Let me see. What else? You do consulting work as well, Monica.
Absolutely.
Can you talk a little bit about that? And you talk about accessibility and inclusion and grants and projects. Can you talk a little bit about, I guess, about your community and how you've impacted the work in your community around that?
Well, I've served on various communities and boards that I've been appointed to.
Mm-hmm.
The North Carolina Council on Developmental Disabilities, I was a two-term appointee through the governor for that to advocate for quality programs and services for people with developmental disabilities and their families. I also am currently working for the Statewide Independent Living Council, which works with vocational services, transportation, education, and employment initiatives for people with disabilities.
Mm-hmm.
And because of those, I network a lot with community groups, whether it's a civic organization, a school group, or a business group, to help them to recognize that the ADA was passed 20 plus years ago
mm-hmm.
is still relevant. Just because no one's looking doesn't mean that it's okay to let it pass and not comply, and that it is not only good customer draw to make things accessible, but it's also good business for
mm-hmm.
Marketing and for your employees who are aging or who may become injured outside or on the job, to make things
mm-hmm.
more universally usable for everyone of all abilities and challenges in your company.
Mm-hmm.
And that most accommodations or modifications that you make at your job site or in your building can be less than $500, sometimes less than $50, depending on what you're talking about. And they're tax deductible.
Any
modifications that you make, whether it's adding a grab bar in a bathroom or lowering a sink or lowering a counter, moving a copy machine to a lower shelf,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Some people think, oh, well, I'm going to have to rearrange all of these things in my office and get new equipment. No. If you put this up on phone books to make it higher for someone to get to, or take this off this high shelf and move it down for someone to get to, or make this a little bit wider, you know, using offset hinges on a door that you can get from your hardware store, to make the door
mm-hmm.
wider without knocking the door out of a wall and chiseling out a bigger hole, that you can do things to modify and to accommodate without spending a fortune.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
if there are initiatives, there are grants, and there are tax credits to help you if you think it's cost prohibitive. And it's really an investment in your entire workforce to
That's
do these things.
Well, it also says something about the kind of company you are. It says something about inclusiveness, which is,
absolutely.
You know, I mean, and that's imperative. I mean, I know for myself that as I age, it is more and more important to me to be treated well. Like, I just, the respect piece is something that I won't compromise on. And a lot of my own journey in my own, you know, working my own career and stuff has been saying no to people who were abusive and things that weren't okay. And so it's so important for these different companies to, you know, advocate and for them to have an inclusionary policy and way of presenting, you know, their environment so that it's accessible to all different kinds of people. And that says something about the quality of the people, the ethics of the people who work there, and that's important.
And it's, I think it's important to remember that people with disabilities have incredible consumer influence. Not only are we going to patronize some place that's friendly to us, we're going to recommend those places to our friends.
Sure, sure. Absolutely.
Almost 60 million people in America alone are people with disabilities, various ages and various challenges, and hidden and visible disabilities, whether
uh-huh.
through mental health challenge or someone who's recovering from addiction or some other type or a chronic illness that you wouldn't normally be able to see, like asthma or arthritis or something like that. Being friendlier and more open to everyone, whether you can see their disability or not, you're being more friendly to the human community on the whole.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we all have friends and family and other people. We all have voices, and as we become better advocates and strengthen our voices, we're going to tell people where those places are that we patronize,
sure.
do business with, that are open to having us there. And
sure.
You want good press if you're a business,
yeah.
or a community group.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Well, I also think that, that it's so important just because, I just lost my train of thought. This is one of the things that's happening as I'm going through menopause, and I can't remember a darn thing. So there have been these little gaps in inner voice lately. I'm like, I don't know. Anyway, but I don't know what I was going to say. It was good. Something about advocacy. Oh, go on.
Maybe I could help thread the needle a little bit with that. Advocacy
sure.
not, doesn't have to just be from the perspective of someone who's having the challenge. Advocacy is important for our allies.
Yeah.
And that's why I consider myself an ally in various communities, whether it's lesbian, gay, transgender community. I have friends who identify on that spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
I have friends who identify with different disabilities than mine. I have
mm-hmm.
a lot of friends with intellectual and developmental disabilities. And
mm-hmm.
well, I'm very much an ally in these different arenas to show
mm-hmm.
that we all have abilities. And I think it's important that we all become allies and advocates, not just
yes.
the people who have that lived experience.
Yes. Well, I now remember what I was going to say, and what I was going to say is that, we come into this life thinking that we're going to have certain abilities. Often we do, not everyone, I guess, but that we can count on certain things, that we're sure that we're going to have certain capacities and abilities, and that can change at any point in anyone's life, and it's just so important that we have a fluid concept of help and community so that we can support each other, because we do change at different points in our lives. We become less capable of doing things on our own and maybe need help from other people, need community, need feedback. And I think that having an advocacy kind of a model allows people to reach out and not think they have to do everything all on their own, you know, that they don't have to be the survivor who holds up the world kind of thing.
Absolutely. I encourage people to not just be independent, which implies that you do everything by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Independent is more about doing it on your own terms. And I
mm-hmm.
prefer to use the term interdependent.
That
yeah. yes, you do things on your own terms, but you also ask for help on your own terms. And that,
mm-hmm.
and that asking for help is not a sign of weakness; it's a sign of strength. That you have,
yeah.
that you not only recognized a gap where you need some bridging to get move you forward, but you also recognize an attribute or a gift in someone else to help you move forward, and you share that knowledge together.
Yes, for sure. Well, I want to make sure that you're able to give your information about how to get a hold of you for your wonderful services, for your coaching, for the vision board work that you do, all of that. So now I guess would be the time to share that information, Monica.
Okay. My website is www.butterflywheel.com, and you can reach me at Monica J. Foster. That's Monica, J is my middle initial, Foster, at butterflywheel.com, or feel free to call me, 704-490-2063. And you can also find me on Facebook, facebook.com/butterflywheel.
And I have to say that her page on Facebook is wonderful. Her counseling and coaching, her coaching page is wonderful. There's some really, really lively discussions about these sorts of issues, and it's just beautiful, the work that's at the top of it, this purple, beautiful piece of artwork that she's had created for her. It's really lovely. So I encourage you guys to check out her page and get involved in the discussion there. And also to encourage yourself to start to think about these topics a little bit more. I know we get going in our lives, and sometimes it's easy to create defenses around ourselves because we want to keep moving forward and things like this. But we really are a more multidimensional, creative, and empathic and loving community when we think about what different people's needs are and what our own needs may be, and we help ourselves to be an advocate, a teacher, a healer, and fit into all these different archetypal realms instead of just identifying with one story. So thanks so much, Monica, for sharing all of your insights and wisdom and all of the wonderful work that you do this evening with Inner Voice.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed talking with you. I hope we can do this again sometime.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Love to have you on again.
Absolutely, and I hope you get to feeling better soon with that cold.
Oh, thanks. Have a great evening, Monica.
You too. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye. That was Monica J. Foster, who has a wonderful, wonderful business called Butterfly Wheel Advocacy and Coaching. Check out her page. She really has a very, very magical way of doing the work that she does. So I'm going to head out a couple minutes early this evening, only because my voice is kind of giving out on me. Feel free to check out the archives on Inner Voice and on With Insights Radio. If there's a topic that you would like to see presented that you haven't seen, or you have a great idea for a guest, you can email me at imaselkie@juno.com, and let me know who that person is or what that topic is. I go out of my way to present topics that are interesting to people, that they're asking for. On my Inner Voice Intuitive Tarot Guidance page recently, I did a survey and found out that people wanted shamanism, and they wanted me to talk about have people on talking about tarot. So I really do pay attention to those kinds of queries that people ask for. I also encourage you to share your shiny, pretty picture with Inner Voice so we'll know that you're following the show, and to click on follow. And you can also follow me at Inner Voice 11 on Twitter, as well as Inner Voice Intuitive Tarot Guidance on Facebook. So I hope that you've enjoyed the show this evening, and that you think about these questions, because they really do affect all of us. Here is Dar Williams going to take us out with the blessing. Next week, tune in to hear Beth Jordan of Key Empowerment talking about the wonderful work she does. And whatever you do between now and next week, go and make magic, create magic, feel magic, inspire magic, connect with magic, because that's what we're here for. Take care. Bye now.